Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Time now for the man who tells us everything Corona related. We're talking to Barry Shoup.
Good afternoon, Benji.
Professor, how are you doing? Of course, you are the former executive director of the NICD and Professor Emeritus of Virology at Fitz University and involved with the country's COVID response. And we're going to be looking at something slightly different today. You know, the mantra is wash your hands, keep a distance, don't eat bats. But we're going to be talking today a little bit about people who are going overboard, being, dare I say it, a little bit coronaphobic.
Yeah, actually, you invented a new word I haven't heard for before, Benji, but I think it describes it quite well, yeah. Now, yesterday we dealt with the problem of people who are flaunting the precautions, and of course that's the problem that they start a super spreading event, and it's contributing to the upward surge that we're seeing worldwide and in this country. But then we also get the opposite. We get people who are we get the one opposite, of course, the extreme are those who have a pathological fear of germs generally. We call it germophobic. Allah Howard Hughes, you remember Howard Hughes was the prototype of a germophobic fellow. He had everything antisepticized. But also we do get people that do take unnecessary precautions and go to an unnecessary extreme in being very worried about getting infected with the coronavirus. So, you know, I've had cases of people that have been totally incarcerated for now, 8 months, haven't ventured outside their house. And it's not even necessarily they do have a very high-risk person in their household, but they're just very, very, very concerned about the virus. And I think this has also been contributed to by publications which have also had quite a lot of lay exposure. Publications such as, for example, the survival of the virus experiments. Now, these are experiments where they kind of artificially, in a laboratory situation, see how long the virus can survive on various surfaces, on inanimate surfaces like stainless steel and material and wood and glass and so on. And they've shown, in fact, that the coronavirus, under these artificial circumstances, can survive on various inanimate surfaces, up to about 6 days, in fact, 3 to 6 days. But they've done in the dark, for example, they've done other experiments where if the virus is exposed to sunlight, the virus is rapidly inactivated. No virus in probably about 7 to 8 minutes, it's inactivated. And then also publications where they've isolated virus from various surfaces, but in a hospital environment. So all these are not really kind of situations which are, which pertain to the real life situation.
Because as soon as you start this thing about, you mustn't be extreme about your response, then immediately people jump to this idea that, oh, you're politicizing masks and, you know, you're not isolating when you should be. And I think from what I'm hearing from you, there's a really about how do we be cautious and careful about not spreading things, but at the same time, you know, the fact is people are going to have to start living their lives at some point or another. I mean, I've had corona and I've had to take like certain steps, and I've made mistakes where I shouldn't have. So what is the advice, particularly on how not to get it in the world if you're out there, and B, if you do get it, what are the steps to make sure that other people don't get it?
Yeah. No, look, those are just such critical points that you've raised, Benji, and we've actually have dealt with in many of the programs. You know, all these precautions are not precautions which have been sucked out of the thumb. These are precautions which have been scientifically validated in many, many, many observations, what you call epidemiological studies throughout the world, in outbreaks from China to America and to Europe and in between. And these are kind of universally accepted by authentic scientific publications. And that is physical distance. The virus will not be transmitted beyond a certain physical distance and will be transmitted within a certain physical distance. We say about 6 feet. Then the critical thing is social aggregation of people, people coming together, particularly in an indoor environment, less so in an outdoor environment, that promotes the spread. Because the virus is primarily spread by airborne transmission from a person that's infected to a susceptible individual. So physical distancing, avoiding of crowds, particularly indoors. So avoiding those kind of socializing functions, parties and so on. And then also sanitizing and cleaning the hands. Now all these things will, in fact, if they are widely practiced, we can actually bring this epidemic under control. We probably don't even need a vaccine. The vaccine will just help, but the vaccine on its own is not going to do it. So even with a vaccine, when the vaccine does come, we will still have to carry out these procedures. And as I say, if it's widely carried out, and they've been done a lot of mathematical modeling, it itself can bring the epidemic under control.
Yeah, so good advice. And just the last point there, I mean, if you do get it, right? So you've gone, you tested, what should you be doing to, if you've been in contact with other people, or what constitutes a contact? What should they be doing? What should those people's friends be doing? Because I think a lot of people are not sure what to do under those circumstances.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? I missed out probably one of the most important. Wearing a mask. Okay. Wearing a mask. Okay. Look, somebody that is infected, they remain infectious up to about, well, we say the isolation period is up to 10 days. After 10 days, if it's an uncomplicated illness, you won't be infectious anymore. But anyway, the things that many people, of course, get the virus, get infected, and are infectious without any symptoms. And that's why there's a call for universal masking, for everybody to wear a mask. So an infected person will not pass the virus on if they're wearing a mask properly. And a susceptible individual will not inhale the virus, again, if they wear a mask correctly. So masking, social distancing, avoiding the parties and so on. Those are the ways which one can prevent this respiratory spread virus being spread from one person to another person.
Well, there you go. All we have time for today, I do have a few other questions about testing and not testing, Prof, but maybe we'll be able to get back on that at some time. But thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate your time as ever.
Yeah. Thanks, Benji. Thank you. Nice being on the program.